الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا
من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فان خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll continue the explanation of the book العقيدة الواسطية written by شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية الحراني الدمشقي رحمه الله تعالى. الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى said as we explained in the previous lesson وقد دخل فيما ذكرناه من الإيمان بالله الإيمان بما أخبر الله به في كتابه وتواتر عن رسوله وأجمع عليه سلف الأمة من أنه سبحانه فوق سماواته على عرشه علي على خلقه وهو سبحانه معهم أينما كانوا يعلم ما هم عاملون كما جمع بين ذلك في قوله هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير. The Shaykh Rahmahullah Ta'ala told us and established that part of believing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is to have belief that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala فوق السماوات is up above his heavens. That is part of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala arshihi is above his throne. Aliyun ala khalqihi, Allah is above his creatures. Wa huwa subhanahu ma'ahum aynama kanu. Despite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. Aina ma kanu, wherever they are. This is part of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is up above his throne, above his creature. Despite this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with his creature. Aina ma kan, wherever they are. Ya'lamu ma hum amilun, he knows what they do. Kama jama'a bayna dhalika fi qawli, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined this in his statement. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the heavens, والأرض and the earth في ستة أيام in 6 days ثم استوى على الأرش then he rose above the throne يعلم ما يلج في الأرض he knows what enters into the earth وما يخرج منها and what comes forth from the earth وما ينزل من السماء and what descends from the heaven وما يعرج فيها and what goes up what ascends to the heaven وهو معكم Allah is with you وهو معكم that is he Allah is with you أينما كنتم wherever you are والله بما تعملون بصير and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seer of what you do. Now, if you look at this verse in Surah Al-Hadid, there is a combination of the aqidah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all above the throne, above his creature. At the same time, Allah is with us, with his creature, wherever they are. So the people of innovation, they see this as a kind of contradiction. How can Allah be above the throne? How can he be up at the same time he's with us? So they see it as what? A contradiction. So Uturu, they were forced because of the disease in their heart to do the ta'wil of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up above the throne. So and that's why wherever they come across verses like Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa Ar-Rahman Allah Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa is up above the throne. Allah is up above the throne. Whenever they come across verses like this, this Ar-Rahman al-Arshistawa, this is mentioned in 7 places also in the Quran. So whenever they come across a verse like this, they say Ar-Rahman al-Arshistawa. Allah Ar-Rahman al-Arshistawa is the controller of the arsh. He has control over the arsh. So the question is what? Is doesn't Allah have control over other creatures except Al-Arsh? One, being the ta'wil of Istawa to mean Istawla, this was never reported from any of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there is nothing that suggests this in the language, in the Arabic language, that when the word Istawa is used, it means Istawla. So while interpreting Istawa to be Istawla, they say they are doing this because they do not want to fall into contradiction and they do not want to fall into describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the quality or the attribute of his creature. So when we say Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, it means the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Arsh, or the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what? Place. Is abhorring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is bearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is impossible for a place to bear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for a thing to bear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them, it is not sensible to say Al-Arsh, that Allah is above Al-Arsh. So to say Allah is up. So when you say Allah is up and above the arsh, it means the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abhorring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is bearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we have explained, that the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that what you find in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Estabish, are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't do the ta'wil or the tahrif by trying to explain it in such a way that only we agree with the different senses or the different intelligence, so to say, that people may have. So you don't subject the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our personal thinking. We establish and we go. Because Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that is comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you can liken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Nahl is taught, when Allah says something, you should not imagine the attribute of human being. Once you imagine the attribute of human being, in taking the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has gone astray by so doing. So and that's why these people, they went astray, and their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defective. Why? This is because they knocked away the attribute of al-istiwa, and they knocked away the attribute of al-fawqiyya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fawq, is up. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustawin ala arshi, that Allah is above his throne. And this we have in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِ. He is al-qahir, the irresistible one, فَوْقَ عِبَادِ, who is what? Above his slaves. Now somebody now says, no, Allah is not فوق عبادي. It's not above his slaves. Allah is everywhere in his essence. That is, in his essence, just as you are here in your essence. I can see my brother sitting on my left side, so he's here in his essence. It's not here in what? In spirit, that's okay, I'm with you. But it's here in essence. So for somebody to say, Allahu fi kulli makanin, Allah is everywhere, bi dhatihi, in his essence. This is aqidatun tunaqidu al-aqidah sahiha. This type of belief in Allah is against the correct belief. The correct belief is that what? Allah is wa huwa al-qahiru fawqa ibadi. Allah is the irresistible one, fawqa ibadi, and is above his slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in many verses, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman, Allah the Rahman, is above al-arsh. So this is the aqidah that we should believe in. If you want to unbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you do not unbelieve that Allah is above the throne, Allah is up, then one's belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defective. And some of the Salaf al-Salih said, like Ibn Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu wa rahimahu, said one who does not believe in that Allah is above the throne, such a person should be killed, and such a person should be thrown in the wood, being in the refuse dump, and not to be left among the believers, so that what is odor will not affect the Muslims. Why did he say this? This is to tell us how the Salaf al-Salih, they were ash on things like this. Because we have clear verse in the Quran, Ar-Rahman ala arshi istawa. Then somebody has the God to say, Ar-Rahman laysa ala al-arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman ala al-arshi istawla. They change the word istawa to what is istawla, meaning Allah has control over the arsh. Running away from what? From liking Allah to his creature. So some of them now said, what? Allah is what? Everywhere in His essence. This is a statement of the Jahmiyya, the Ash'ari. The Ash'ari who wrote, Allah fi kulli makan. Allah is everywhere. Bidhatihi in His essence. This is the Aqidah of the Ash'ari, the Aqidah of the Maturidiyya, the Jahmiyya. This is the Aqidah. The Mu'tazila, they said what? Allah is not up, nor is He what? Down, nor is it on the left side, nor the right side, nor in front, nor back. Now, if you are asked to describe something that does not exist, can it be described better than this? Something that does not exist, can it be described better than this? So, and that's why the scholars will say, Al-Mu'attil, Al-Mushabbi, or Al-Mumathil, the one who likens Allah to His creature, that whenever he hears an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what comes to his mind is to watch, is to take it the way these attributes are present in the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, Al-Mumathil, or Al-Mushabbi, Ya'abudu Sonaman, he is worshipping what? Idol. Because if he has likened Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, Allah said what? Laysa kamithli shay, and he has said what? Kullu shay mithlullah. Everything is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mithlu kulli shay. Allah is like what? Everything. So al-mushabbih, or better still, al-mumathil ya'budu sunaman. وَالْمُعَطِّلْ يَعْبُدُ عَدَمًا المُعَطِّلْ The one who has rendered all the attributes of Allah mentioned in the Quran, mentioned in the Sunan, who has rendered them meaningless. يَعْبُدِشْ يَعْبُدُ عَدَمًا is worshipping something that doesn't exist. Because how can you describe your Lord, your Creator, with these attributes? Then you are still worshipping that Lord. This to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami bila sam'i. Allah is sami, but it doesn't hear. Basirun is what? Basir bila basarin, but it doesn't see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all these attributes mentioned, but they will negate all the meanings of the attributes. It means what? The person is worshipping Adam, something that does not exist. And that's why some of the Salaf al-Salih, like Ibn Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu, they were asked on this. Somebody says that Allah is not focused on Samawati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ala al-arsh. Such a person should be killed, and if he's killed, his corpse should not be left among the believers. It should be thrown in the dustbin, should be thrown in the refuse bin, so that what is other will not affect the Muslims. So what we are saying in essence is that what, if you say I have belief in Allah, to say I have belief that Allah is existing, Allah is my creator, Allah is my sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can take my life, this is not sufficient until you have had belief that what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up and is over, above, is what? Al-Arsh. Then in addition to that, one has to have belief in what is called Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, that all your acts of worship would be directed to Allah your creator, to Allah your sustainer. That you are, and then you have belief that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most beautiful names, likewise the highest attributes. So this is part of what? The belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anything is 40 years, that means one's iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Questionable. Some people, their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questionable to the extent of what? Say they are not believers. While some people, the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questionable, in that watch, we say the iman is defective, though they can still be called what? Believers. But the iman is problematic. So هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. It is He, Allah, who created the heavens, والأرض and the earth. في ستة أيام in 6 days. How? We do not need to ask about the details. 6 days, is it 6 days of the normal days, our own days, or 6 days as you have in يوم عند ربك كألف سنة مما تعدون. So scholars have said, والله أعلم, that it maybe it's referring to the 6 days of us. ثم استوى على الأرش. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above the throne. This is established. Some people, they interpret Al-Arsh as what? As power. Huh? When you look at the tafsir of some of the Ash'ari, they said what? Al-Arsh is power. So, but when you go back to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَمَانِيَةٌ. So 8 angels will be bearing on that day the arsh of your Lord. So this is not what? Power. So you say what? وَيَحْمِلُوا قُوَّةَ وَقُدْرَةَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. So those who are trying to run away from liking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are to His creator, and eventually they fail in what? In rendering the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meaningless. So they are misguided people. They are people who have gone astray. So as believers, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you take these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you do not understand, you establish and go. Because if you believe in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you know the details of the essence of Allah? You don't know. Why do you believe in that? And that's why any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see in the Quran, or we see authentic sunnah, ours is just to believe and go and leave everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us to start imagining how is that possible, but so and so to look at, now you are going away from something that you have established yourself. You have taken that watch, the essence of Allah is different from your own essence. So you should go from this angle, not that watch, having established that the essence of Allah is different from your own essence, then you want to liken the attributes of Allah to your own attributes. So this is what the musiba of the Ash'ari and the Maturidi and the Mu'tazila, and they went astray as far as this is concerned. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows what enters into the earth. The rain, the crops, and so on and so forth. Allah knows everything. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He knows what enters into the earth. Now, do we know what enters into the earth? Do we know? Do you know the amount of the crops that enter into the earth in a day? Who can tell us here? Nobody. The amount of rain that penetrates the earth, we know, nobody can tell us. The best scientists cannot tell us the amount of rain that enters the earth in a day. The amount of crops that enter the earth in a day. The best scientists cannot tell us this. But يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And what comes out of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And what descends from the heaven, Allah knows. The aqdar, the qadar of the people, that is the destinies of the people, Allah knows everything. The rain that falls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. The angels that descend from heaven, Allah knows their number. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. And what goes into the heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. The supplications of people made in a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many supplications are sent in a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many angels are sent in a day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all this. Nobody knows this. No man knows this. No jinn knows this. wa huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum, and is with you aina ma kuntum, wherever you are. So there is no contradiction. Ma'akum, with you. This is an Arabic word. Ma' is an Arabic word, which means what? Al-musahaba. To be in company of what? Of something. Being in company of a thing does not mean that what you are mixed with that thing. If you are talking about an issue and I said to a brother, ana ma'ak, mean what? Ana wafikuka. I agree with you. This is an Arabic language. Doesn't mean that what? I'm mixed with the brother. Because these people of innovation, they said that you are the sunnah, you say you are being taharif, you are being ta'wil. Now you are not saying ma'akum is what? You are saying wa huwa ma'akum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you bi ilmihi wa tila'ihi wa mushahadati. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you in his word, in his knowledge. This is ta'rif. Ma'a, does ma'a mean what? Knowledge? The response is that what? Ma'a means al-musahaba, being what? To be in company of a thing. And being in company of anything can be in different way. It can be what? With al-ikhtilat, that there will be mixing. Like when I put water and what and mix together now, this is what? Ikhtilat. Al-ma'u ma'a ma'a laban. Al-ma'u ma'a laban. This is what? Ikhtilat. In tizaj, there is mixture here. But when I say to somebody that ana ma'ak, I'm with you, that doesn't mean that what? I mix with you. But both of them are what? Arabic language. And that's why Al-Sun Jamari said, we have not done ta'wil, you have not done ta'wil. What you have done is what? Is interpreting it the way it is in the Arabic language. All this is clear. So ma'akum, with you, means what? Bi'ilmihi, which is knowledge. What is the evidence? Allah says what? Ya'lamu ma yaliju fil ardi, ya'lamu ma yakhruju minha, ya'lamu ma yanzilu min as-sama, ya'lamu ma ya'ruju fiha. Allah knows all this. So it means what? The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. There is nothing on the surface of the earth. There is nothing in the sky. There is nothing in the heavens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of. There is nothing. However, even that thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the details of that thing. Because He is the creator of that thing. In fact, He knows that thing, or He knew that thing before the thing itself was created. So, this is to tell us how mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَهُوَ مَعْكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is all aware of what you do. So combination of what? Al-Ma'iyyah and what? Al-Furqiyyah and Al-Istiwa. Al-Istiwa and Al-Furqiyyah, that Allah is up. And what? Al-Ma'iyyah, that Allah is what? Is before us. And we said, Al-Ma'iyyah, using the word Ma' can be what? Al-Ma'iyyatul Khassa and Al-Ma'iyyatul Amma. Al-Ma'iyyatul Khassa is that Allah is what? Is giving you support. Huh? That Allah is what? Is giving you support. Allah is assisting. That is the assistance, the support of Allah. This is for His people. Then Al-Ma'iyyatul Amma, meaning Allah is with us. This is what? This has to do with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything. So we have to know these two, Ahlu Sunnah al-Jama'ah, Al-Ma'iyyatul Amma and Al-Ma'iyyatul Khassa. All this is clear. So when you are reading the Quran, you see the word Ma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word Ma, that is with. You have to look at it. Is he referring to what? Sin and being watchful or over things, or is referring to what? Support. Then the Fawqiyah, that Allah is up, we said many verses established, many ahadith. We have what? Al-Qahiru Fawqa Ibad. Mentioned in what? in some places in the Quran. So this should be established. Somebody says, I believe in Allah, but it's asked, Ayn Allah. He said, Fi kulli makanin bi dhati. Allah is everywhere in his essence. This is the aqidah of the Ash'ari, the aqidah of the Maturidiyah, the aqidah of the Jahmiyyah, not the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not the aqidah of the Muslims. Because when we say the Muslims, we are referring to the companions. The true Muslims are the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Who are the mu'minun there? How many companions are innovators? You can't find a single companion that is an innovator. All the companions were upon what? The truth that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. And it was never reported that any of the companions said what? Allah is not up. Hatta al-amiyya, just a legend who was rearing animal. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Ayn Allah? She said, what? Fisama, up. Then somebody is said to be a scholar, an Ash'ari scholar, and he's asked, Ayn Allah? He said, fi kulli makanin bi dhati. Yeah, subhanallah. What a lay person knows, somebody is said to be a scholar, doesn't know it. And that's why some of them, when they were about to die, they regretted this. One of them said, Abu al-Mahal al-Juwayni, he said, فَأَنَا ذَا أَمُوتُ عَلَىٰ عَقِيدَةِ أَجَائِذِي أَلِي بِزَبُورُ. He said, I am dying on the aqidah of the old women of Nizapur. The aqidah of old women. What is the aqidah of old women? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up. So any person, any lay person that you ask in our society, the way is Allah, and she tells you or he tells you that في كل مكان, such a person has been affected by the aqidah of what? Aqidah of the Ash'ari. And this is the fitna. One of the scholars of the past said, for al afsad al dina illa al muluku wa abaru sui wa rubanwa. Who destroyed the deen if not for the rulers? Who use some of the things of the deen to justify their what? Their evil things. Wa abaru sui wa rubanwa. And those who call themselves scholars, who are scholars of evil, وَرُؤْبَانُوا, and those who call themselves worshippers, who will bring things that what are against Islam. So the idea is that what the aqidah of the layman, the layman, is that what Allah is all. This is the aqidah of the layman. One of the scholars of the Ash'ari was saying that thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was in existence before he created makan, and he is still, that is before he created places, and he is still on what he was before. So when he was saying this, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, he was trying to say what Allah is not up. So somebody now said to him that, let us leave all this oratory talk that you are saying. Why is it that when somebody is what, supplicating, when somebody is supplicating, you look up? To the extent that what some of the animals, they will look up. This is what? This is darura, something of necessity. It's like somebody is saying that there is no God, but when he's confused and he can't say anything, his next is what? Oh God, or oh Lord. So the darura in him forced him to say, to utter that. So the same thing here. So the one who believes that Allah is everywhere in his essence, this is the aqidah of the Ash'ari, the aqidah of what? The Jahmiyyah. And this is aqidah to kufr. Why aqidah to kufr? Because this is belying what you have in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, in about 7 places. Wal-Qahiru fawqa ibadi. There's somebody come and say, no, huwa laysa fawq. Said, bismi rabbika al-a'la, huwa al-aliyyu al-azim. We have all this. So this is what the line what we have in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what kufr. And that's why the one who is taken up on this, and scholars debate with him on it, if he insists kafir, he has become a disbeliever. That is, if they excuse somebody who is upon this naughty akida, and he insists that no evidence you bring that what to make me change my position, they say what is a kafir. Because this verse is clear in the Quran. But he has decided to do the ta'wil of this verse because he has likened Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creature. He now believes that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be likened to his creature. So all these attributes should be interpreted in such a way that what would not correlate with that of the creature. This is what led into that. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said there is no contradiction because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined both of them in this verse. So we say what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also with his creature. No contradiction. With the creature, with what? بِعِلْمِهِ وَعِنَايَتِهِ وَاتِّلَاعِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَتِهِ. And is what? Is of بِذَاتِهِ in its essence. Allah in its essence is what? Up above the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with all his creatures, بِعِلْمِهِ in his knowledge, وَاتِّلَاعِهِ in his what? Seen everything, and Allah said, "What? وَهُوَ بِمَا وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ." So this is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah. So somebody says, "Allah fi kulli makan." We say this is what mujmal. What do you mean? Fi kulli makan. Allah is everywhere. Everywhere. The ilmi yau bidati. If you say bidatihi, that is the aqidah of the Ash'ari and Jahmiyyah. If you say the ilmihi, this is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. How this is clear? Somebody say Allah is everywhere. We ought to ask, what do you mean by everywhere? If he says in his essence, then this is what aqidah batila. If he says in his knowledge, then we say this is what correct. This is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الله The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted this by saying al-awwal alladhi laysa qablaka shay. He interpreted what al-awwal, that there is nothing that was in existence before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When did Allah start existing? Don't ask that question because you cannot comprehend it. So al-awwal, anta al-awwal وليس قبلك شيء وأنت الآخر وليس بعدك شيء. Then Allah is what? The last. And there will be nothing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So الظاهر, Allah is what? الظاهر وليس فوقك شيء. There is nothing above you. Then الباطن وليس دونك شيء. So there is nothing that is not known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to everything. It's close to everything. In fact, Allah is the closest to everyone. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبِ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to everything than itself. So ليس دونك شيء. So this is what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. وليس معنى قوله وهو معكم. The Sheikh said, the statement of Allah وهو معكم doesn't mean أنه مختلط بالخلق, that Allah is mixed with the creature. No. Yes. فإن هذا لا توجبه اللغة.
الشيخ said فإن هذا لا توجبه لغة. This is not necessitated or this is not made compulsory by لغة. When you use the word ما in the Arabic language, it does not mean what? اختلاط. That is mixture in all time. It may mean, that's why the Sheikh used what? لا توجبه. So, but it may mean what? اختلاط. Like when you use what? You mix water, ma'al laban, with milk. The ma here is what? اختلاط. But when you use the word ma, that ana ma'aka, I'm with you, that doesn't mean what? You are mixed with him. بل القمر آيات من آيات الله. Rather, the moon is a sign of one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من أصغر مخلوقاته. One of the smallest creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what? It's the moon. It's ayah. It's a sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? Ayatun matluwa, and he has ayatun masmua and ayatun mar'iyya. Signs that you can see, like the sun, like the moon. All these are signs of Allah, like the heaven, like the earth, like the trees. All these ayat are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they are mar'iyya, things that you can see. Then there are what? Ayatun masmua, signs of Allah that you can hear, like the Quran. The Quran is recited, you hear the Quran. All these, they are what? Evidence on us. And that's why one of the questions was, فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. In everything that is what? There is a sign pointing to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is one. So somebody who is not guided by the Quran and is not guided by all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing that can guide him. Because everything in the universe is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author says here, بَلِ الْقَمَرُ آيَةٌ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَصْغَرِ مَخْلُقَاتِ وَهُوَ مَوْضُوعٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The moon is up. وَهُوَ مَعَ الْمُسَافِرِ وَهُوَ مَعَ الْمُسَافِرِ. It's with the traveler. وَغَيْرِ الْمُسَافِرِ. It's also with the resident. أَيْنَ مَا كَانَ. Wherever he is, or wherever they are. So somebody is traveling, now he leaves Lagos, he's going to Ilorin, or he's going to Kano. You'll be seeing the moon at night. And the one who is what, around here is what, seeing the moon, he can say what? The moon is with me, or the moon is with us. The one who is in Ilorin, Ibadan, and so on, will say what? Al-Kamarumai. Is the Qamar with us, mixing with us, or the Qamar is what? Is being musahaba, that is in our company. And we are not mixed with. So if this is what? This is something that can be seen in one of the asgaru makhlukatillah, one of the smaller creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walillahi al-mathalu al-a'la. So why must you now understand the ma'a, the ma'iyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mean what? Mixture. That Allah is mixing with us. Some of you now say what? Allah fi kulli makanin bi dhati. And when the person who says this, when you ask, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the faces that you have what? Defecated? This is what? Rubbish. Because we say Allah fi kulli makan. Everywhere. Bi dhati in its essence. So means, which means what? In the faces, in the urine, in. So this is what? Nonsense. But whoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not guided, there is nobody that can guide such a person. So Allah is up above his throne, that there is nothing above him, and his what? Is with us, bi'ilmihi wa inayatihi wa mushahadatihi wa tila'ihi. Allah is with us by knowing everything, by seeing everything, by taking care of everything. So this is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah. Any aqidah apart from this is what? Aqidah batila. So when you say you believe in Allah and you are going around with this aqidah batila, then which means one is not what? Ahlul Sunnah. When we say you are not Ahlul Sunnah, it means you are not on the path of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why these people, may Allah save us from innovation. At times they will tell you that what? They say that the position of the Salaf, they will say is what? Is Aslam, is favored. Is Aslam. If you want to be on the same position, you take the position of the Salaf. That is, be upon what the companions are upon. But they say what? Rayul Khalaf. The position of the Khalaf, those who came later, is A'lam. It's what? It's more knowledge-based. Because they believe that what? When you want to debate with the philosophers, you want to debate with people like this, they should be able to bring others. So with this, they subject some of their debate to what? Intellect. With this intellect, they are knocking away what? Established verses of the Quran. Knocking away established sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they say what? What the Salaf are upon is what is Aslam. Because the companions, they never enter into this nonsense. They read these verses, they read a lot of verses. They never said what? Allah bi kulli makanin bi dhati. Or Allah is not up, it's not down, it's not on the left, it's not on the right, it's not in front, it's not at the back. The companions never enter into this nonsense. But these people, when they entered into debate with the philosophers, some of the things they believed that what the intellect could not, you know, support, they tried to interpret them with the verses of the Quran. If the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they tried to knock them away. And that's why we say what? Since you have established that what? The position of the Salaf is Aslam, why not take that? And Allah said, what man yushaqiq ar-rasul min ba'di ma tabayyana lahu al-huda wa yattabi' ghayra sabili al-mu'minin nuwallihi ma tawalla wa nusli jahannam. So why must you have the guts to contradict the companions of the Prophet who are the mu'minun? So when we say ahlus sunnah, we are referring to those who are upon what the companions are upon. The reason why the word ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah was used is because some people, they innovated. So when they brought this innovation, some people were countering them. So those who are countering them, they were said to be what? The ahlus sunnah. That we are not going to debate on the sunnah. We are people who will be promoting the sunnah. You are what? Innovating. You are bringing this up. So the Muslims, at that time, they became what? They became divided into Ahlul Sunnah wa Ahlul Al-Bid'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then we have what? Ahlul Bid'ah wal Ahwa. Those who are following what? Desires. So, and as what? As time went on, some people said what? Some people said, okay, we are also Ahlul Sunnah. The Ash'ari said, no, we are not going to leave you to say what? We are also what? Ahlul Sunnah. The Maturidiyah say what? We are Ahlul Sunnah. So people say, no, you are not Ahlul Sunnah because you are what? Attacking the Sunnah. So some scholars said, okay, in the Quran time, they say what? We are Salafi Yud. So in order to differentiate between those who are upon what? The Aqidah of the Salafi Salih and those. Some people of innovation, some taking to the path of the Khawarij, said we are Salafi Yud, really. The most important thing is that it's not what the name that matters. What matters is that what you say you are Salafi, you are Sunni, you are Muslim, you don't want to be any other name except Muslim. Okay, you are free, they are Muslim, but this Islam that you're upon is not the Islam of the Salafus Salih. Going back to the Quran, going back to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have seen some innovations in what you are doing. And that's why what matters is what you are upon. Not what you call yourself. What you call yourself, you may be the first person to be knocking that in with your practices, with your utterances. And that's why we should concentrate more on what people are doing, not on what on the nomenclatures that people call themselves. So the Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, wa huwa subhanahu fawqa arshi, he, glory be to him, is fawqa arshi, raqibun ala khalqi. And is what? Is the one watchful over his creation. Muhaiminun alayhim. And is the one who has what? Control over them. muttali'un alayhim, is the one that sees them. Ila ghayri dhalika min ma'ani rububiyyatihi, apart from, in addition to some other things that point towards, that point to the meaning of the rububiyyah of Allah. When you say you believe Allah is your Rabbu, that means what you believe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, is the one that creates you, is the one that knows everything about you, is the one that has control over you. Who said this? Some of the kuffar of Makkah, they believe in this. When Allah asked the messenger of Allah, قُلْ مَنْ يَزُّكُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, say to them, who is the one that provides for you in السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, from the heaven and from the earth. أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ, who owns your hearing, who owns your seeing. أَمَّنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيْتِ, يُخْرِجُ الْمَيْتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ, who is the one bringing forth the living from the dead, or the dead from the living. وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ, who is the one who is control of the affairs. فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ, when you ask them, they say what? Allah. فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, so if you believe it is Allah, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, won't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is the area of tawhid of uluhiyya that majorly the kuffar of Makkah, they have problem. Now they have some problem in tawhid rububiyya wa asma wa sifa, but majorly their problem has to do with what? Tawhid uluhiyya. Directing some of their acts of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today we have those who are calling themselves Muslims. In rububiyya they have problem. In al-asma wa sifa they have what? They have problem. May Allah save us from this. And there is no way out from this except by learning. There is no way out except by what? Learning the Quran, learning the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the right source. وَكُلُّ هَذَا الْكَلَامُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنَ النَّوْ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ وَأَنَّهُ مَعْنَى, all these statements that Allah has mentioned, that He is above the throne, that He is with us, حَقٌّ, is truth. عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ, they should be taken the way they are. It's not ta'wil. Somebody shouldn't accuse us of what being ta'wil. You have said what? Ma here means what? That Allah is aware of. Allah knows. Allah is watchful of. Huh? The Sheikh said this is what? Haqqun. This is the real meaning. La yahtaj ila tahreef. It doesn't need any tahreef. There is no any changing of the meaning. We are not altering the meaning. The meaning of ma is with the way it is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Allah ashis tawa, we should take it like that. Don't utter it to say it means what? It's tawla. Walakin yusonu anil dununul kaziba. Walakin yusonu anil dununul kaziba. So these statements that Allah has mentioned should be prevented from the dunun al kaziba, from false conjecture, from false statements. You know, people can easily ascribe anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are worshipping other Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are doing things that are not supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say what? Wallahu amarana biha. Allah has ordered us to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Najm, He said, in hiya illa asma'un sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum ma anzalallahu bihi min sultan. All these that you are calling, that you are worshipping, they are what names that you have coined by yourselves, you and your fathers. Allah has not revealed any evidence for this. Allah has not said you should be worshipping Hubal or Manat or Lat. Allah has not said you should be worshipping Ugu, Oya, and the likes. In here, illa asmaun sammaytumantum wa aba'ukum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in tattabi'una ila dhann wa ma ta'wal anfusu. So it is only dhann, that is conjecture, your own thinking, personal thinking that you are following. وَمَا تَعْوَى الْأَنْفُسُ, and watch the souls, what the souls suggest. So we should understand this. Shaitan has inspired people with a lot of innovations, with a lot of things. And instead of what, saying these things are from Shaitan, they are credited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sheikh said, yeah, that when you saw the statement of Allah, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arshi istawa, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa al-qahiru fawqa ibadi, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum, all this you saw should be prevented and it dununul kaziba from the dunul of that are kaziba, the false conjecture, the false statement of people. مثل أن يظن أن ظاهر قوله في السماء. For instance, for somebody to feel that what, to say that the apparent meaning of the word في السماء أن السماء تظل وتقل, that the سماء, the heaven, تظله is something that is what, that is upon Allah, أو تقله, or bearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa, that Allah is above al-Arsh, when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up, don't start imagining that, oh, does that mean that what, it is the heaven that is bearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is carrying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can it carry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't Allah heavier than the, you know, all this zunun, all this congestion that will be coming, you have to prevent yourself from that. Because laysa kamithlihi shay, yours is to establish, to admit what Allah said. But for you to start imagining, how is that possible? Like some people, when they read the hadith that comes in tawatur, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend at the last stage of the night, and you say, Al-min sa'irin fa'uqiyahu, Al-min mustaghfirin fa'afirala. Is there anybody trying to seek anything so that I can give him? Is there anybody trying to seek forgiveness so that I can forgive him? Somebody may just imagine that, how is that possible? Huh? Allah descending, when he descends, you know, what about the arch that we've been touched? How is that possible, descending, ascending? You are disturbing yourself. Now you believe that Allah speaks. You believe that Allah hears. You believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Imagine your knowledge, your seeing, your hearing. Imagine with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where you will find yourself going to watch the aqidah of the Mu'tazila. If you say you are al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, you are Sunni, and you believe that what Allah sees, Allah knows, Allah hears, you believe all this. Allah speaks, you believe all this. And we know the reason why the Mu'tazila, the Ashara, why they do not believe in this. Why they do not believe in what? Why the Mu'tazila do not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, Allah sees? We all know the reason. What is the reason? Huh? Yes, that they are disturbed. That human beings, they hear, they see, they know. So when we say Allah hears, so that means Allah is hearing the way we hear. As I'm speaking now, you can hear me. But if we are 10 now speaking, can you hear me? Can we hear him? Can we hear him anymore? Huh? You cannot understand. It will be noise. When 10 people start talking now, you will not hear again. So when we say Allah hears everybody, we have what? Billions of people in the universe. We have billions of people on the surface of the earth. And we say Allah hears everything. There is nothing that somebody says that Allah does not hear. Now the Mu'tazila, they became what? They became disturbed. So they believe it is impossible for one to hear what hundreds of people are saying, not to talk of hearing what millions of people are saying or billions of people are saying at the same time. So it is impossible. So Allah doesn't hear. This is where they went astray. It is impossible to hear what hundreds or 10 people are saying at the same time. So, which means what? It is impossible that Allah will be. So, in order to do Tawheed according to them, let us dissociate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from hearing. Because hearing has what? Limitation. In order to do tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us dissociate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what? The attribute of sin. Because sin has what? Limitation. So you are watching this now. There are what? Hundreds of things to be washed. So you are washing everything. Is that possible? They say, no, it's not possible for you to be washing, to be seeing everything at the same time. So this attribute should not be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they get to what? Al-Basir, they say what? Basirun bila basar. Now, when Allah says it descends, when the Messenger of Allah, Allah descends at the last third part of the night, and you ask, don't ask. But the last third in this place will be what? Maybe it's not the last third in America. The last third in America is not the last third in what? In Britain. The last third in... So that means when we say Allah descends the last third, descends in the last third. Last third differ from one. You have started the same thing, the same error, the Ashaira, the first thing. You are liking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to yourself. So how is that possible? Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not your business. How is it possible that Allah will be hearing all of us at the same time? Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should believe. And that is the more reason you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why those who do not understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way, they will not be active in ibadah. But when you know that, oh, Allah possesses all these qualities, then He is the one that deserves to be worshipped. Not somebody that cannot hear what 10 people are saying at the same time. Not somebody that cannot see 10 different things at the same time. So the one who can see what millions, billions of people are doing at the same time, is the one that has the power. It has the one that has the quality of being worshipped. And these are signs. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. So the author, رحمه الله تعالى, said, when you come to the word في السماء, في, you want to say what? Inside. في, you want to say what? Inside. Don't disturb yourself. The word في in the Arabic language does not mean in only. If I say نحن في المسجد, we are in the mosque, does not mean what? The word fi in the Arabic language means what? In only. The word fi in the Arabic language can mean what? On. It is a context that will tell us the meaning of what the word fi used. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Irhamu man fil ardi, irhamukum man fis sama. Irhamu man fil ardi. Be merciful at those that are what? This is in the arch. You say what? On the arch. Because when you say irhamu man fil ardi, you want to interpret feed here to mean what? In. That means we'll be looking for the what? The insects that are living inside what? Inside the earth to have mercy on. Watch, if the word fi can also mean what? Ala. So irhamu man fil ardi, irhamukum man fis sama. A'amintun man fis sama means what? A'amintun man ala sama. Or we can say the word fis sama. Sama means up. So fis sama means what? Up. So kullu ma alaka fa huwa sama. Anything that is above is what? Is sama. This one in the Arabic language is what? Sama. The ceiling is what? Sama. As the Hausa people who always... So anything that is up is what? Sama. So we have to understand the language before going to what? Saying we are doing ta'wil or we are doing tahrif. So the Sheikh Rahmahullah is saying that the people of innovation should not use this to attack Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that you are also interpreting. Now you have interpreted fi to mean what? Allah. This is allowed in the Arabic language. It is part and parcel of the Arabic language that fi means Allah. أن السماء تظل وتكل وهذا باطل بإجماع أهل العلم والإيمان فإن الله قد وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض لكرسيه فالله سبحانه وتعالى is موضع القدم that is the place of watch the place of the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that watch encompasses that encompasses the sama samawat and watch al-ard as Allah said wa huwa yumsiku as-samawati wal-ard an tazula is one that is preventing the heavens and the earth from watch from moving out of their places wa yumsiku as-sama an taqa ala al-ard and is one that is preventing the sama the heaven from falling on the surface of the earth illa bi ibni wa min ayati an takuma as-samaa wal ardu bi amri so part of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that what the samaa and the ardh they are existing they are the way they are bi amrihi with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so this you have said before but we are just trying to reiterate it so that this aqeedah will sink. It's not that we say, okay, we are learning aqeedah, we are learning aqeedah. When you are asked, what is your aqeedah? Or concerning al-imanu billah, you should not be able to talk about the rububiyyah, they talk about wujud of Allah, the rububiyyah of Allah, the asma wa sifat of Allah, the uluhiyyah of Allah. Then part of what the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what the shaykh has what? Discuss with us concerning what? The uluwu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his what? His fawqiyya and his istiwa and his what? Isma'iyya. This is part of what? The rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ought to know. The more we know this and we believe in it, the more close we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when one has knowledge, your knowledge makes you what? Closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who has knowledge and the knowledge distances him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person is a loser. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his creation, from his word, his servants are the ulama. Those who know. When you don't know, how are you going to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But when one man knows and you are not doing things contrary to what you know the truth and you have what wrong aqidah. You know this is the right aqidah. But you say, no, this is what our fathers are upon. I'm not going to watch. This is musibah. You know the truth when it comes to what? The issue of fiqh. But you say, what? I'm not going to do this. Because this is what our people are upon. This is what? Musibah. But when one knows the truth, in terms of what? Aqidah. In terms of what? In terms of amal. In terms of the belief and in terms of what? The actions. Then one is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for every one of us to be upon the right aqidah. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do righteous deeds. May he accept it from us as an act of ibadah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka la humma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Now they would say they believe in the essence of Allah. They believe that Allah is existing. So this is what they are also contradicting themselves. They are contradicting themselves. They believe Allah is existing. Huh? So that means what? They believe in the sifa of what? Wujud. But they will say what? They don't believe in other attributes. So these attributes of wujud that you believe in, Allah is existing, his creatures are also what? Existing. Why can't you negate the existence of Allah? Because what? The creatures of Allah are also existing. But they don't do this. So this is tanakut. This is contradiction. And this is what Al-Husna will use against them. The same thing, the Ash'ari, they said, okay, we believe in names of Allah and we also believe in seven attributes. As we said several times, Seven attributes, these seven attributes, they said, because intellect suggests that these attributes must be established. So we are accepting these seven attributes, which are what? As-Samu, Al-Basar, Al-Ilm, Al-Haya, Al-Irada, Al-Wujud, Al-Qudra. He said this, intellect suggests that what? The one who is to be the worshipped, the one who is to be worshipped must possess all these qualities. Not because they find them in the Quran, it's because they believe what intellect suggests. Intellect necessitates that the one who is to be worshipped must possess this quality. So what they used to establish it is what they said intellect. Now, if you're establishing seven, why not establishing the remaining ones? The intellect that suggests that the one being worshipped must possess this, doesn't that intellect tell you that what these seven that you have mentioned are also what shared by the creators of Allah? That human being has knowledge, human being has what existence, human being has what samur, basar, irada, kalam. Doesn't that same intellect tell you that human being possesses this when you are running from what establishing other attributes because they are possessed by human beings? So this is contradiction. And that's what they said what? The madhab salaf is what? Is aslam. This is the same way that one can. But this they said that what is a'lam. What type of knowledge is this? That when you are thinking about something, then they use days, many nights, pondering on some things. Like the one that was, when it was a question that, how can you establish that what the God that you are worshipping is existing? The philosophers, they took him up on that. So for about 40 days, he was confused. So he did not pray. Because he had to think whether God is existing really. So this is what. And that's why a lot of them, when they regretted this, they said what? وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِجْ مِنْ بَعْفِنَا فُولَ عُمْرِنَا سِوَا أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِيهِ قِلْ وَقَالُ. All our thesis, all the volumes that you have written, we did not benefit anything from this. Said that so and so person say, Aristotle say, Socrates say, so and so. We just compiled all this nonsense that full of contradictions. So the woman who died upon the aqidah that Allah is all, that Allah has knowledge of everything, died upon this aqidah is far, far better than the so-called scholar who is confused upon his about his affairs. Wallahu a'lam. Like now, what advice can one give to the one who is committing sin when he's alone, but when he's in the public, he appears holy? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now, this is a result of not knowing the tawhid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he believes that what Allah sees him, if he believes that Allah sees him really, he will know that there is no difference between doing that thing secretly and doing it what? Openly. When you do it openly, the people are not going to reward you. Allah that is going to reward you or punish you. So when you do it secretly, so it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to punish you or what? Reward you. So This is what is part of not understanding the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifa of what? Al-ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifa of what? Al-basr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifa of as-sam' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything, hears everything, knows everything. And you should not differentiate between what? Doing that thing secretly or doing it what? Publicly. Now, if one does some sin secretly, and maybe he doesn't do them openly, so it's not the same weight as somebody who does them what? Obviously, somebody who does some sins secretly, but in the open he will not do them. It's not the same thing as one who does it openly in terms of what? In terms of punishment or in terms of what? Reward. But he's guilty as well, is tawheed, concerning the attributes of Samu and Basar and what? And ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that strong. But there is something called al-mujahara. Al-mujahara is for one to do something, some things openly. And what? You'll be boasting of it again. Like somebody who is committing zina and will be telling his friends, you know, a lot of girls, you know, yesterday I had what fun with so and so. They were. So this is what? This is al-mujahara bizam. People like this, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about that those that Allah will forgive, said what? Al-mujahirin, that the mujahirin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive them because of their mujahara. When you do sins and you are still boasting of it, you don't care about those who will be influenced by the sin that you are doing. So the one who does some sins secretly, his case is what? It's lighter than the case of the one who does sins openly. Why the one who does sins secretly, his own case is also what? It's as a result of what? It's tawheed concerning the attributes of Allah and ilmu and samu and what? It's defective. Maybe at that particular time, or maybe it's not that strong. So either of the two, Allahu A'lam. Now lying down on the stomach, while eating or sleeping on the stomach, while you are still you are aware of what is going on around you. This is an issue that the scholars disagree upon. Now, there is a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadhihi daj'atun la yuhibbuha Allah." This is saw somebody sleeping, lying on his stomach, and he said, "This type of sleeping is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love." So it is based on this that some scholars have said that what, it is not permissible for one to lie on one's stomach. Now this hadith is authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. However, a lot of scholars of the past, they have been silent on this hadith. Some of them said that the hadith is not authentic. Some of the comments of Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala on some of the reporters of the hadith, it's like they were not favorably disposed towards authentication of the hadith. And that's why some of the scholars are of the opinion that the hadith is not authentic. Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi, hafidhahullah ta'ala, said he has been having problem with what? With this. At times, even when he saw a small baby lying on the stomach, he felt somehow that, what type of thing is this? But when he went through the chain of the hadith, he discovered that what the hadith is not authentic. And that's why these scholars will tell you that what, there is nothing wrong in lying on the stomach. So Allahu A'lam, having looked at what the scholars have said concerning some of the reporters of the hadith, what I've seen so far is that most of the scholars of the past, they have been silent on some of the reporters. That is, they've not made jarh on some of the reporters, nor made a ta'adim on them. So which may mean that what the hadith cannot be said to be what completely authentic. So wallahu a'lam. The contractor. Okay. Are they going to sell it to him? And when the after finishing the after finishing it. Nam alhamdulillah salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Now somebody who has a piece of land and he doesn't have money to develop it, he goes to a developer to develop it on his behalf, and the developer is going to hand it over to him. So building it. So if the developer is not going to maybe have anything to do with the building except to build it and now sell what they built on the piece of land to him, there is nothing wrong in this. That is what they've erected on the piece of land. They are going to sell it. So what they are selling is what is their own, is what they have done. So if they have nothing to do with what the piece of land. Now at times there will be agreement that maybe the developer, so to say, is going to use it for 10 years, 15 years, and things like that. So if this is not involved, so that they are going to build the structure and they sell it and the person will pay in installments, then wallahu alam, there is nothing wrong with this. Now the second question. Who is paying the money? No, that's not the owner of the house. It is the company. Yes. No, they are building and they are selling. They are building with their own money and they are selling to the person. So they have nothing to do with the piece of land. The piece of land belongs to. Yes. It's like somebody building a car now. So the cost is maybe 500,000, and if he tries to sell it, 600,000. So what's the? So since they have nothing to do with the land, the piece of land, they are not laying any claim to it. It is only the structure that they are selling to him. So there is nothing wrong in selling it in installments. Wallahu a'lam. Sorry, but this is different from when it's okay, the bank will say, let us come together. So when there is what, if there is a loss, they say they share it together. If there is what, profit, the bank wants to make. No, this is what, this is wrong. So if there is any problem with that piece of land or that building, for instance, before transferring it to the, it is the bank that will be responsible for it. And if they transfer it to the owner, if there is any problem, it is the owner that watch, that is the owner of the land that will be responsible because they what transferred it to him. Now this is riba. So one should not do that, because when you are entering a transaction, so you can't say, okay, if you invest so and so, you are going to get so and so. If you invest so and so, you are going to get so and so. Mentioning the amount, if you invest 10,000, you are going to get 15,000 or 12,000. You are going to collect back 13,000. So this is what? This is a riba. You are guaranteeing the profit. So when you are investing, you should not tell somebody that what the profit should be guaranteed, that okay, if you bring so and so amount, you are going to collect so and so, because business is what? It's risk. So what one can say is that what if there is profit, or if you are likely to get so and so percent of what? Of the profit, not the capital. When you say you are going to get so and so percent of the capital, or so and so amount, this is what is riba. It's like the person has loaned you to get so and so, so it's guaranteed. But if there is profit, you are going to get what? So and so percent of the profit. So you may profit 1 million naira, and you may profit what? 100,000 naira, you may profit 50,000 naira. So you now base everything on the percentage that what you have agreed upon. So when you tell him that you are going to get 50% of your capital, so and eventually maybe the person puts down 1 million naira, you say you are going to get 50% of your capital. What should be 50% of his capital? 500,000. But the business at the end of the day profits 200,000 naira. And you have said what is going to get 50% of his capital. So you have guaranteed 50% of his capital. So this is riba. But when you guarantee 50% of the profit, so 200,000 naira, 50% of it will be what? So you can't say you are going to get so and so amount of the capital, or you are going to get so and so amount at profit, or so and so percentage of the capital. I hope it is clear. So that is said, it is riba. And both of you, you enter into transaction based on this statement.
And the company is talking based on the previous knowledge that he
When the person is putting down that money, what was his intention? Of what? No, the question is, of the person, when he's putting that money down, what is his own intention as profit? That he will be happy, maybe he will be planning. 3 million, Abi. Now, what is wrong in me loaning you 1 million naira and what getting 500,000 in addition to that? I loan you 1 million naira now, and you're going to pay me 1.5 instead of what giving back the. What is wrong in that? It's riba, because you have stipulated, you have agreed on the amount, Abi. So the same thing here, somebody, you are entering into a transaction with somebody and you are telling him that what, he's going to get 3 million naira. If somebody says, okay, no, 1 million naira, 1.5 million naira, I'm sure that if I give him that money, he's going to make maybe a profit of over 5 million naira from what I'm giving. Like those who go to the banks and get loan from them, and they use the money and they make profit. Will that justify it? That's the question. I know if I go to a bank and I get loan of a million naira, that if I put that million naira in one transaction, I'm going to make 3 million naira out of it. So if the bank requests for 500,000, is that too much? Huh? Can I go ahead? I'm sure that I'm going to make 3 million naira. I can't go ahead. Why? It's riba. So the same thing is applicable here. Since you are telling the person that he's going to make 3 million naira, so this is business. It's something that you cannot guarantee. So Islamically, what you have to do is what? To tell him that you may get up to this amount and you may not get up to it. Well, a lot of us, we are what? We don't want to say, because if you say this, people will run away from your business. Huh? Like some people, I advise them, they were making this, and they said, okay, come and do business with us. If you do, you get 17% of your what? Of your capital. So this is riba. And you say Islamic, I don't want to mention the name. You said Islamic whatever. So you are what? Say you can get 17% of your capital. You get 17% of your capital. I said, remove this of your capital. Say what? You get 17% of the profit made. But if you say 17% of the capital, what you have done is what? Riba. So when the business is now concluded, the person is sleeping, snoring, expecting what? The 17% of his capital. You say, no, we encountered some problem. What is my business? Give me my 17%, job. And this is what has led a lot of the so-called Islamic whatever, has led them into problem. So when we want to do Islamic whatever, let us do it the way it is, should be done. Not that we'll be practicing riba by trick. Doing what the conventional banks or what the conventional institutions, what they are doing, doing them in another way that is also what? That is also riba or haram. But using the word, the name of Islam in order to watch, to embezzle people's words, for Allah. Okay, I will say that of Ashura finally. That is left to the profit, Abi. That is left to you. It's not a must. For some of us, we also fall into another error where we are into business, into partnership. Maybe the capital required for that is, let's say, 3 million naira. I put down 1 million naira, I put down 2 million naira, you put down 1 million naira. and we make a profit of, let's say, 2 million naira. How are we going to share this profit? So you say what? I put down 2 million naira, or I say I put down 2 million, put down 1 million naira. So it's going to be what? Maybe 70. It is not compulsory, it is like that. It depends on what? On your agreement. And that's why you have to agree at the beginning of what the transaction. 2 million, 1 million. Are we going to share 50-50? If we agree on that, no problem. But it's not a must because I have what? Larger share, a larger what? Capital. So I must have what? The larger profit. It's not. Huh? No, we are talking of. Take for instance now, I may not put anything down. You have put down the 2 million that we use in the transaction. So can we share 50-50 there's profit? Maybe I have the expertise, you have the money. Is it permissible to share 50-50? But I've not put down any money. So you are going to be so the issue of profit, the way we share it, has to do with what? Our agreement. It's not that we say, okay, I look at it now, but after all, 2 million, you put down 2 million, you put down 1 million. So you have to agree on how you are going to share the profit at the beginning so that there won't be any dispute for Allah. Okay. Now the first question is given sincere advice, are we? To brothers who are browsing on their phones and with this they don't have time for their wives. They'll be talking to their wives. Well, the so the sincere advice is that Prophet Allah Salam said now the sincere advice is that Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said inna li zawjika alayka haqqan wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqan to the end of the hadith. So fa'ati kulla dhi haqqin haqqan. So inna li nafsika alayka haqqan, your soul has its own right. Your wife has their right, your family has their right. فَآتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقٌ. Give the right of everyone to them. Don't give the right of your soul to your wife, that of your wife to your soul. So you, that of Allah to His creature, that of the creature to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give everybody their right. This is the perfect way of life. But at times, there may be difficulty in doing some things. So maybe somebody who is, as the brother rightly mentioned, maybe somebody who is making money from internet, doing the halal business on the internet. So, and the wife needs some time. And if the man listens to her, both of them will go hungry. Say the man listen to her by what? Creating time to be talking to her when he's supposed to watch to face this business. Maybe it will affect both of them. In a situation like this, the wife ought to understand this type of issue so that they will live peacefully. Some of the wives of the the scholars and the students of knowledge, people in the past, complain some of something like this. That some of them will be busy reading, and they will not have time for the wife. And that's why some of them decided, in order not to fall in, not to be guilty of this, decided not to marry. Like Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala did not marry. Not because of any, because of what? The rights of the wife. So if you know that you get yourself engaged in some things that will deny you the rights, that will make you fall, that you will not be able to discharge what you are supposed to do for your wife, then in that means you are not ready for marriage, you shouldn't marry. And that's why people like Imam al-Nawawi, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Hafidh al-Hakami, and many others like that, they did not marry. Because marriage is something that has a lot of necessities, a lot of responsibilities. So if you are married to somebody who does not understand your situation, this may be what? May be sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one has to understand this. Then the wife should also understand the situation of her husband. So maybe this is the means that the husband is what is feeding them through and it's halal things. And if he decides to be talking with them like that, this may affect them. But sincerely speaking, we have to give everybody their rights. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give his wife their rights. At times he will discuss with them, they will discuss. We all know the hadith of Umm Zari, when Aisha radiallahu anha narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, funny story that you can't really get, but he listened because he had time. When he did not have time, he won't listen to. We have to create time to listen to them at times so that what? We can live a peaceful life. Now when we say the women browsing on their phone, what's the woman doing when she's browsing on the phone? Trying to get knowledge or chatting. You know, this is what fitna, and this is one of the evils of the internet. When a woman is logged on the internet, Facebook, you know, sending requests to men, add me, why is a man going to add you? What if the man is using that as an opportunity to send messages to you that will not be seen to the general public? A lot of evils have been committed through this. So what a woman is looking for on the internet, you have to, you are not the one fending for the family. You say, okay, I'm working on the internet. So this is something that you ought to understand. You cannot compare the two situations. So what is compulsory on the woman is to take care of the children. Any work that will make the woman irresponsible of the children is something that she's going to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. The brother sent something to, let me say, I saw it on the WhatsApp, and it's funny. A man said that his wife is not working. And he said, okay, your wife is not working. What is she doing? He said that the wife will wake up around 5 a.m. and what will take, will bath the children, will prepare food. So after that, the wife will take the children to school. The wife will go and pick them. The wife will cook food before for them. The wife will prepare water and cigarettes for the husband when he returns from there. If your wife will work, what will you be? Maybe the wife is working more than you. Maybe when you get your place of work, AC, the only thing is just you'll be holding pen and you'll be writing. And here is a woman running up and down, and she says she's not working. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us appreciate what our women are doing. So this is the major work of the woman. If fully we have appreciated this work, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Now I'm praying nawafil after Asri, when we enter the masjid. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iza dakhala ahadukum al-masjid fala yajlis hatta yusalli rakatayn." When one of you enters the masjid, you shouldn't sit until you have observed two rakah. Now scholars, they look at this, but there are some times that we are asked not to observe nawafil, or we are not to observe nawafil. Maybe when the sun is rising, when the sun is at the meridian, then when the sun is about to set. Now let's assume that somebody enters the masjid at this time. The hadith, إِذَا دَخَلَ دُخْمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجِزْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَاتَيْنِ. Is it applicable on him? Or you should use the other hadith that we should not watch. He should not observe prayer at this time. So these are two umum, two general implications, contradicting seemingly. So scholar in Sagri, some said no, we should use the other one, that we should not observe Nawafil. Some said no, this one is what? Is general, so we are going to bury the other one for it. So when he enters, it doesn't matter any time he enters, he should watch. He shouldn't sit until you observe two rakah. This is where the scholarly works come in. Ibn Hazmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is what led him to learn fiqh of the deen. They went for a janaza. When they finished it and he entered the masjid, so he wanted to implement the hadith, فَلَا يَجِسْ عَتَى يَصَلِيَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. So somebody came and said, "Don't pray at this time. The Messenger of Allah said so and so." So he starts. So the other time or the following time, he entered the masjid at that time again. So since he has been corrected that he shouldn't pray at that time, the Messenger of Allah said, so he starts. Somebody came and said, "Watch, get up." The Messenger of Allah said, "What is adakhal adukul masjid falayajiz atta yusalli arakatayn." So what type of confusion is this? So this led him to say, okay, I want to know about this this fiqh of the thing. So wallahu alam, the stronger opinion is that salawatu zawatil hasbab, the prayer that have a reason for doing them, like tahiyatul masjid, salatul kusuf, and so on and so forth, even they fall at the prohibited time, we can still go ahead and observe them. This is the favored opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and many other scholars, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and it is a stronger opinion, wallahu a'lam. That is paying them back, or what you? Now, nafila after asri, a lot of scholars are of the opinion that there is no nafila after asri, based on the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no salah after asri until the sun sets. Now, they hold on to this. This, but there is a hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawood, the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, that na'a an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an is-salat ba'd al-asr illa an takuna ash-shams murtafi'atan naqiyya. The Messenger of Allah forbade praying after salat al-asr illa an takuna ash-shams murtafi'a, unless if the sun is still up, naqiyya, and his watch is still pure. So with this, they did, some of the scholars did the tahfiz of the other hadith that there is no salat after asr until what the sun sets. That what is referring to is that when the sun is about to set, it's not that there is no salat after asr at all, based on this hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, which is contained in Sunan Abi Dawood. And this is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Allahu alam seems the stronger opinion. Now, there are, even that of Subhu, there are some athar in some of the ahadith from companions, like the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, which is contained in Bukhari, that one can still pray nafila after Salatu as-Subhi as long as the sun is not about to rise. Likewise, another report from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. But the general opinion of the scholars, majority of the scholars, is that no salah after Subhi, no salah after Asr, until the sun has risen, until what the sun has set. But we have some athar that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempts to even observe two rak'ah after Asr. It happened one day that he was unable to perform salat, the nafila after Dhuhr. He was unable to perform the nafila until after Asr. And since then, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam maintained performing two rak'ah after Asr. So he did not leave it till his death, as Aisha radiallahu anha said. So based on that, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, if I'm not mistaken, will also do that. But during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu was flogging people for that. So he stopped. After the death of Umar, he continued it, because he saw Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing it. So now in our society it's not common to observe salah nafila after salat al-asr. So we have the hadith of what Rahim Allah umran salah qabla al-asr arba'an. May Allah have mercy on the one who prayed before asr, before rak'ah. But there is no hadith that says what after asr, except that what Messenger of Allah would do it. So it's something that one has to look at it critically. You do what the people are doing. But at times, if you want to do something that is strange in society, you have to enlighten people before that, so that other people will not be attacking you. I've mentioned it several times, somebody who prayed there with his sandals or with his shoes and the masjid, and some of the old men in the mosque, they attacked him and said, Sunnah. He said, A'udhu billahi min hadhihi sunnah. If this is sunnah, we seek refuge with Allah from this type of sunnah. But if you have prepared the mind of the people for that, maybe the attack will be little. That's one. Then is somebody that people have respect for. When they see him do anything, they want to emulate him. This should be something that is good. But one has to be careful in handling things like this. Wallahu a'lam. The owner of the money has the capital, that one has the expertise. So if they want to, they have their profits now. Who put the money down for the machine? Uh-huh. With the profit. So they should know the ones that they've bought. Yes. So if they want to do everything, the money put down by the first person as a capital will be what? The doctor. Huh? This is the capital. So whatever left is what will be the profit. All this is clear. Whether machines or whatever, so they deduct the original capital, then what is left will be the profit. So whatever be the agreement in sharing the profit will be the agreement. And if there is loss, maybe one of the machine stops working, or one of the machines is what is destroyed. So the one who put the capital down will not ask the one who is using it for that, are we going to share the loss? So it will be bear the loss, because al-ghurm bil-ghurm. So when you are making profit, when there is loss, you should also be ready. No, there is nothing like looking at the money value. So this same thing, somebody who is lending you 20,000 naira to be paid in 3 years can also say he wants to, is looking at the money value, so you have to add to it. So if 20,000 is 20,000. Yes, yes. Yeah, that should be written agreement. It is good to have written agreement. If he's pulling out of it, he has to notify it. He can't just pull, because that may affect the business. No, you can't impose it on him. If he wants to pull out, he has the right to pull out. The profit. No. No. No, it will be on what is it called? The on the capital. That is, it will be it will be on the ratio of the contribution of each one of them. Yes. Yes. The loss will be, say for instance, now maybe there is loss, and this one has contributed 1 million, this one has contributed 2 million. So maybe there is a loss of, what's it called? There is a loss of, let's say there is a loss of 2 million. There's a loss of 2 million. So it will be, this one will lose its own 1 million, this one will have its own 1 million left. So that will be 50-50. Yes, the loss. Yes. No. Eh? No. The amount they contributed will be what will be affected. The loss. How much is his own contribution is worth is 1 million. So and they lost 2 million. So they will share it. 50-50. Not what I mean by ratio is the contribution is a mistake. It's what the person has contributed according to his own contribution. So that will be what it will be. No. If there is profit, it's going to watch based on agreement. Now, if there is loss, how they lost 2 million, huh? Who are the three? Who has the three? Why do you want to share from the other verse? Leave what I said mistakenly. What I'm saying is that what 3 million is involved in the loss. So my own 1 million is inside. His own 2 million is what inside. So we lost two million. So which means what? I lose my own 1 million. He loses his own 1 million. So the main 1 million will be his. It will be based on the contribution. It will be based on the contribution. Okay, let us make it clearer. Take for instance now, if you are the only one running your business, and there is a loss of, you start your business with 1 million, and there is what, a loss of 1 million. So what are you going to do? So why do you want him to be a part of your loss? The person ordinarily has contributed more than you in the business. So you have contributed half of his own contribution. So if there is loss, so you are going to share this. He's going to take what's it called? He has contributed 2 million. So he will lose what? 1 million. So you are losing 1 million as well. Your expertise is not money. And that's why when there is profit, you are benefiting from it. So when there is loss, take for instance, if he put down 2 million naira, you do not put anything down. Except what your expertise. If there is loss, who is going to bear it? So he won't tell you that what you have to go and look for. That's what you are saying. So he will lose the money. What now? Concerning the Ashura, now this is something that we are all aware of, but in Babi Tazkir, just to remind us. Ashura is the 10th of Al-Muharram, and the month of Al-Muharram, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, is one of the 4 sacred months. So one of them being Zulqa'da, another being Zulhijjah, the third one is Muharram, and the fourth one is what? Rajab. What we should know is that the putting of Muharram as the first month, of the Hijra, is made by Umar radiallahu anhu together with the companions. It's not the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said Al Muharram is the first month of the year. Because he wasn't the one that put down the Hijra calendar. This was done by the companions just for dating purpose. And they all agreed that they should use the time that the people who have performed pilgrims, maybe they will be going back to their various destinations. So which will be most likely they will all return, or most of them will return in the month of Al-Muharram. So what I'm trying to say is that what there is difference between what Al-Muharram being the first and Al-Muharram coming after Zulhijjah. Al-Muharram comes after Zulhijjah, but where do we get the evidence that it should be the first month of so this was done by the companions. So Al-Muharram is a sacred mood. And in it, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning it, he said that أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم. The best fasting after Ramadan is what? Is the month of Allah al-Muharram. A lot of us we call it Muharram, Muharram. This is not correct. It is al-Muharram. You have to put the alif and lam. So Sharullahi al-Muharram. That is the name. So, which means we can fast as many as possible in the month of al-Muharram. Whether we maintain the 13, 14, 15 that we've been fasting, or we maintain fasting of Monday, Thursday, or we maintain the fasting of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, fasting today, tomorrow, breaking, next tomorrow, like that. So whether that, but there is a special day in this month of Al-Muharram, which is called Yawm Ashura. This day was a day that the Kuffar of Makkah used to hold in high esteem. So the esteem that what they would fast on this day of Ashura, and they also change the clothes of Al-Kaaba. This they would do before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised as the Messenger. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also partook in what? In fasting with them. Since it wasn't something of sin, unlike things that you avoid maybe by going to the cave of Ira. But this you join them, as Aisha radiallahu anha narrated, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will fast, and the people of Quraysh, they will fast this day of Ashura. So when he got to Medina, he also saw the Jews fasting. And they were asked, why are you fasting? They said what? هَذَا يَوْمٌ أَذَهَرَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى وَبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. This is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given or gave Musa and Banu Israel on Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fasted it in order to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Jews also they fasted. So since then they've been fasting it. So which means the day of Ashura was a day recognized by the Kuffar in Makkah, likewise by the Jews. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Nanu awla bi Musa minkum." We have better relationship with Musa than you. We are closer to Musa than you. So he ordered the companions to fast, and they fasted that year. For the following year, Ramadan became compulsory. And Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever wants to fast can fast, and whoever does not want to fast may not fast." But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, said, "Ma ra'aytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam yataharra siyam yawmin ghayra hadha yawm," yani yawm Ashura. He said that I've not seen Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasting or trying to fast for a day more than he fast for the day of Ashura. They will fast, he will fast for the fasting of Ashura, said apart more than this day of Ashura. So he said he will fast it. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked, a man asked him concerning fasting in a hadith contained Sahih Muslim. And he asked him concerning the fasting of Arafah, the fasting of Monday, the fasting of Ashura. So when he got to that of Ashura, he said, "What? The fasting of Ashura?" He said, "You kafil sanat al-madiya." He said, "Wipes away the sins of the past year." So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will fast this because of this reason. He said, "Inni asumu yawma Ashura ahtasibu ala Allah an yukaffira sanat al-madiya." I will fast, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe the sin of the past year. So it is something that is encouraged that you all fast. Now, Messenger of Allah, when he was told that this day the Jews will hold it in high esteem, they will fast in it. At the same time, they will clothe their children. They will eat in it. They will, when they are doing the iftar. So they will take it as Hajj. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا جَاءَ الْعَامُ الْمُقْبِلُ لَأَصُمَّنَّ يَوْمَ التَّاسِعِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. If the following year comes, next year comes, I will fast the night of Al-Muharram, inshaAllah. But as we have it in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, he said, وَلَمْ يَأْتِ الْعَامُ الْمُقْبِلُ حَتَّى تُوفِيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the following year did not come until Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. So Messenger of Allah died before the following year came. So this became something established among the Muslims that fasting the night of Ashura is also part of what? Fasting the tenth of Ashura. And that's why Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked by one man. He said, tell me about your Ashura. He said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ. If you wake, إذا رأيت هلال المحرم, if you see the sight of the moon of المحرم, he said, ثم أدرك, then you can't. When you can't, when it is on the night, he said to him, fast بخي صحيما, then wake up fasting. So he didn't mention what tenth, because tenth of المحرم is known to be the day of Ashura. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu told that man, fast on the night of Al-Muharram, to tell us the combination of the two are okay. So if one cannot combine, then one can make do with Yawm Ashura, the tenth, where it is good to combine the two based on what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The one who is not aware that, okay, yesterday for instance was the night of the Hajj of Al-Muharram, some scholar said what, in order to avoid what the Jews would do, they can fast 10th and what? 11th. Since the old moon is a month of what? Of fasting. So this is on the day of Ashura and the importance of fasting on the day of Ashura. Now, when is likely to be the day of Ashura and Taswa? So this has to do with the counting of the people and the sighting of the people. Some people are saying it will be on Tuesday and Wednesday. Some scholars said, I think in Saudi Arabia, some said it's on Wednesday and Thursday, as said by Sheikh Soy Al-Fawzan. So, Wallahu A'lam, I don't know the counting of the people in Nigeria. So, maybe there's anything on the part of the Sultan. Wallahu A'lam. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت